Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday night. It is January 9th, and this is Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Ace Diamond. And tonight, we're going to talk about a subject that is near and dear to my heart. And a subject that doesn't get a whole lot of discussion in professional wrestling in general, and especially on shows such as this one. Tonight we're going to be talking about professional wrestling managers. And very shortly we will be joined by one of the greats in at least the Midwest, if not the entire country. My guest tonight will be the Iron Manager J.T. Davidson, a man who I met for the first time approximately 4 years ago at a show, and you know, I think even then there was something about him that led me to believe that he was going to go on to greatness in the professional wrestling business. And I'm excited to have a discussion with him about the state of professional wrestling managers, because, like I said, it's a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It's something that doesn't get discussed very often. And it's something that I think is a somewhat of a dying art. The professional wrestling itself is becoming, in my opinion, a dying art, because you got people who want to do all these aerialistic moves. And don't get me wrong, some of them are great, and some of them are just overdone. And there are people who want to throw 50,000 super kicks in one match, Young Bucks. Again, it's overdone. The thing that I think is underdone in professional wrestling today is managers. And I believe that there need to be more people such as J.T. Davidson . There needs to be more guys like Bobby Olson. And there are several others in this area there are a few others in my particular area that I can name, but I'm going to stick with those two because they are in my opinion, they are the two top managers in Ohio, if not the country right now. And I believe that I believe that there should be more managers in professional wrestling than there are. And if you look at the big, we'll say the big three, big four companies, we'll say WWE, Lucha Underground, Impact Wrestling, and New Japan are the four biggest countries on, or the four biggest companies as far as professional wrestling goes in the world. There is a severe lack of professional wrestling managers in those four companies. I understand that they want to focus more on the in-ring action than what a manager might bring to the match. But if you look at the quote-unquote golden age of professional wrestling, guys like the Grand Wizard, Classy Freddie Blassie, Captain Lou Albano, Mr. Fuji, Jimmy Hart, Bobby the Brain Heenan, who has always been my favorite, and I will always consider him the best. That those people like that are a lost art. I believe being a manager, as much as being a professional wrestler, is a true art form. I did it for approximately 2 years, 3 years, and I will admit I was not one of the best. I had a lot of shortcomings. And I feel ashamed of that now, because I realize I could have been a bigger contributor to the careers of the people that I managed. And the fact that I didn't, it's completely on me. I also, had a, and this is also partially my fault, I also had a severe lack of training, although I had several offers to be trained correctly for what I was doing. And I just refuse to take people up on their offers. Again, my fault. But that's all in the past. And now we're going to focus on today. Because I do believe, although I'm not 100% sure, but I believe our guest is waiting on the line. If this is JT Davidson, would you please press 1 so I know it is you? And ladies and gentlemen, just like that, JT Davidson?
JT Davidson, yes, that is me.
JT Davidson, welcome to Matt Chat.
Thank you for having me once again.
Now, I've been going on a bit of a spiel about my thoughts on managers, which I think there is a severe lack of good managers in professional wrestling right now, especially in the four biggest companies in the world. But definitely say you are one of the best.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And the big thing about it is that I agree with you. I don't think that every talent should have a manager, but I definitely think that there's a place for it. Looking at a guy, obviously, like Brock Lesnar, having, Paul Heyman not only as a mouthpiece, but, as a stand-in, when he's not available or, because, of course, he's contractually not – he doesn't have to be there every week, so a guy like Heyman is going to keep him in the forefront of people's minds. To your point, saying that the four biggest companies don't have very many, you're right. WWE, Impact, to me, like Lucha Underground, New Japan, different places like that. It's something that could definitely be utilized more often. And, look, I've got guys that I manage who are currently at Impact. I think that they, could, benefit from, me there as well, but that's not my decision.
Yeah, I was actually just going to say, you have managed I believe they are still the Impact Tag Team Champions.
Yeah, they are
currently watched Impact. I haven't watched Impact in a while, so I wasn't sure if they still had those titles or not. Of course, we're talking about OVE, Dave and Jake Crist, who I've had the pleasure of having. I've had Dave on the show a couple of times. I haven't had Jake on the show, but poor planning on my part at the time. But yeah, you've managed quite a few guys who are quite frankly breaking out into the bigger companies over the past couple of years. I believe you managed Zach Wentz, who is,
yes, I did.
I believe, on the forefront or on the verge of having a major breakout.
Zach is about to do his first tour of Japan. He's leaving this week. He's going to be in China here soon, back in the UK. Zach is all over the place right now. Yeah, you're correct.
I believe you've managed Desmond Xavier, who was the X Division champion.
Mm-hmm.
So you like I said, you've managed quite a few guys who have broken out and are on the verge of major breakouts this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the list, again, Zach Wentz, Desmond Xavier, Trey Miguel, currently Clayton Jackson, obviously Sammy Callahan, Dave Crist, Jake Crist, Nevaeh, Jessica Havoc, Abyss, I mean, who obviously has already broken out years ago. But again, these are all people that I have had the pleasure of managing. Absolutely, yes.
Now, who was your first client when you broke into managing? Who was your first?
My first client ever was Alex Colon. Alex has made a name for himself here recently as more of a deathmatch wrestler. But you know, Alex has a pedigree. The guy is a phenomenal high flyer technical wrestler. And you know, when I first met him, I started at Rockstar Pro, and I had never managed a day in my life. So the idea was, I had just broken back into the business after several years off, and I had some ring rust. So basically, Jake Crist had the idea of, well, listen, you're rusty. Why don't you, kind of be like a diesel type character for Alex? You'd be kind of his enforcer because I'm bigger than a lot of the guys that I have managed. But why don't you be kind of like Diesel for him, be his enforcer, be his bodyguard, and then eventually we'll transition you into a wrestling role. But realistically, what happened was that we got so much heat so fast, and the dynamics started to work. So I kind of looked at it and went, I'm really good at this managing thing comparatively, to the wrestler that I was even. And it clicked so well that I decided to continue it full time. And then after Alex, they formed a stable around me, and guys like local guys like Kyle Craven, again, Clayton Jackson, who was in his infancy back then. The guy's grown not only physically, but as a wrestler as well. Those guys, and then a guy named Flex Jordan, who were in my group originally. And then once that group ended is when I started to manage Dave Crist. So that's kind of the first couple of years there.
Now, you said you wrestled, and actually, I met you when you were still a wrestler for the very first time. The very first time I met
you
were still a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Which was back in 2014, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
What was the transition from wrestler to manager like? And do you think that actually made your transition into managing better or easier?
I do. I mean, there's the classic debate about, does it automatically make you a better manager if you were a wrestler? I don't think it automatically does. Again, guys like Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette, just to name two, who were very good, excellent managers who never wrestled. But I think on the grand scheme of things, the transition is easier. I think that there are timing issues that you have, on the outside that if you've never wrestled, you might not pick up on, especially if there are, if you have to take a move, once you finally get the payoff from the feud and, you finally have to take that bump, again, that bump's going to be a little bit better or let's say easier on you if you've taken bumps in the past. So, for me, yes, I do feel like it was better for me to make that transition, being a wrestler beforehand.
I had mentioned this before you came on the air. The role of managers has seemed to diminish greatly over the last 25 or so years. Why do you think that is?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, and I'll talk about both real quick. The reason that it started to diminish over, the past three decades is I think a lot of because what would happen is that you would have a wrestler, who drove 5 hours. Well, he brought his brother with him, and his brother, is a big wrestling fan, never been trained, you know, but he goes up to the promoter. He's like, hey, look, my brother paid for the gas. He got me here. You know, do you think since he made this trip, you know, he could be my manager tonight? Guy's never managed in his life, but he's going to be a manager. So I think that that's what happens. It's somebody brings their girlfriend, their brother, their dad, their, you know, cousin twice removed, whatever, and they become their manager. Well, they don't have the training for that. They don't have the pedigree for it. They don't understand, you know, how to actually help in a storyline. They don't understand how to make a match better. You know, so I think that that kind of diminished the value, you know, of the position, promoters allowing people on the shows that should not have been on the shows. Now, in today's atmosphere, now, and this is totally my theory, but when you look at the amount of people who are scratching and clawing for those top spots in companies, you look at WWE, Impact, you know, Lucha Underground, New Japan, let's just use those. You know, people want those spots bad. So if you're going to be a top guy, you probably have to be able to not only walk the walk, but talk the talk, so to speak. You have to be able to wrestle and speak. And I think that that's kind of the thing. The competition, I think, has driven out the need for a lot of managers, because most guys should be able to cut an adequate promo with the amount of spots that are actually available, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And I actually have never really thought about it that way, but it does make sense. And I'd say you're probably right there hitting the nail right on the head. Now,
yeah.
My thought
on that is basically I think a talent would have to just be unbelievable physically. I think they would have to be unbelievable in the ring in one way or another, like a Lesnar or like, again, and I'm thinking like, not that he's a bad promo, but I for some reason I have Ricochet in my head just because of how good he is. If he couldn't talk at all, but he could do what Ricochet does, well, okay, maybe I get Ricochet a manager. You get what I'm saying? But it's just one of those things where I just don't think most guys these days, if you're on that level, and because this is a statistic that when I was doing a quick thing for Ring of Honor, they told us, they said, guys, when you're talking about, you know, TV spots in the United States for pro wrestling, there are literally more people on TV who are NBA players than people on TV who are pro wrestlers. So it's a very elite spot. So again, it's just that there's so much competition, you better be able to do it all. And, you know, it kind of diminishes how much a company would go, okay, well, why am I going to pay two guys to do one guy's job? And I think that's what it comes down to.
That makes sense. Getting away from the role of managers, I want to steer in a different direction, but we can always come back.
Sure.
The OI4K, yourself, Gabe and Jake Crist, Sammy Callahan, and Jessica Havoc have started a school.
It's in the process of the details are being worked out now, but yes, you are correct.
Right. Do you know when? I know where. Do you know when that will be?
My best guess, I would say that the first official class of the new academy would probably be in the second quarter. So I would imagine April. I would say safely that, you know, we would have the new facilities by then. Everything would be up and running. You know, basically, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag or talk about any business that I shouldn't, but, you know, there are some, a lot of moves that are going to have to be made in the next 2 months before we can set up anything official. So, again, it's basically just logistical at this point. But, yes, I would say for sure April we would probably be having our first, you know, OI4K class by then.
Okay. That. And for anybody listening, that's going to happen a lot sooner than it sounds like April will be here before you know it.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Because it honestly, to me, it seems like it was just April of 2017. So.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely, and in the meantime, again, you know, the Rockstar Pro Wrestling does have a school, and Dave Crist is the head trainer currently. So for anybody who is, you know, looking for training, you know, absolutely go to rockstarpro.com. There is a link on there for training, and that will get you connected to the home or to the office, and they would, you know, get you quotes, anything along those lines. If you wanted to go ahead and start training with Dave currently, it's just that you'll have the benefit in April, you know, of being with an official class, which again, myself, Sammy Callahan, Dave and Jake Chris are going to have the most to do with that school. So, you know, just stay tuned for more details is all I can tell everybody.
Absolutely. And for people who want to be managers, what advice would you give them?
Well, look, go to wrestling school. You know, that's the number one thing. Again, if you're interested in that, you know, when we get the OR4 Academy completely up and running, you know, our school would be ideal. Obviously, myself being there, I think, would be an advantage for anybody who is looking to manage. But again, my thought process on teaching managers, I will take them through the very basics of how to wrestle as well. You know, you'll learn, you know, lock up, bumps, hit the ropes, you know, basic things like that to protect yourself. You know, you'll learn how to take a clothesline, you know, basic strikes, you know, but it's not going to go much more in depth. I want people to be able to protect themselves in the most basic, from those most basic moves. I want people to be able to, you know, really understand what it's like to be in there. And when, you know, a move happens, well, how would you react to that? When something happens in the ring, you know, what's your role as a manager going to be on the outside? And really just to be their, you know, silent tag partner, you know, anything that, you know, their partner should be doing up on the buckle, I want the manager doing that on the outside and vice versa. So, but yeah, go to wrestling school. That's what I would that's what I would tell everybody.
Is there anybody, because I believe in watching old footage as well.
Sure.
Is there anybody in particular you would tell them, watch this person?
Well, absolutely. You know, obviously Bobby the Brain Heenan, I mean, that's no pun intended, but that's a no-brainer. You know, because he is, as far as I'm concerned, the best of all time. You know, but there's several others. Paul Ellering is, you know, fantastic. Gary Hart is someone that actually people tell me that that I remind them of a lot. You know, but Paul Bearer, I'm trying to think of a few others right off the top of my head. Again, Jim Cornette, Paul Heyman. I mean, these are all people who, you know, have done it at a very high level, very well. Mr. Fuji, you know, again, just – but, yes, you know, going back to Bobby Heenan, though, I feel Bobby was just a master of psychology, not only of just managing but of wrestling in general. But, you know, he had a philosophy – which was he would ignore loud people, which sounds so backwards, you know, from what most people do. But if you think about it this way, you know how Hogan always, you know, would go to the four sides of the ring and see who could be louder. Well, if the entrance side is already the people are screaming at you, well, you've already got them. You don't need to, you know, mess with them anymore. You don't need to get more heat from them. You've already got heat. You need to talk to the people on the right side that aren't giving you anything. So Bobby would ignore the loud people, and he'd start to yell at the people that weren't making any noise. Well, then they got loud. Well, then he'd go to the left side, get them loud. Then he'd go to the back side of the ring, get them loud. Before you know it, the entire arena's going nuts, you know, instead of just keeping that one side that was going loud. And people make that mistake all the time. I've implemented that in my managing. And, again, I think it's one of the reasons why, you know, people who know what they're talking about have said, you know, JT, you always get a reaction, and that's because I've learned from the best on how to get a reaction. So that's my thoughts on that.
He was a master. He was an absolute master at what he did. He quite simply was the best. I agree with you. He was Heenan was, I think Heenan was in a class all by himself.
100%.
So, do you have any shows you want to plug? We're getting towards the end of the end of my time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Every week on Wednesday, Rockstar Pro presents Amped, our weekly television taping. First Friday of every single month, we have our internet iPay-per-view. And I know on the 20th coming up, we'll be back in Chicago for AAW, where we're going to have a big six-man match. It's going to be David Starr, Jeff Cobb, and Trevor Lee versus the OI4K and Sami Callihan, Dave Chris, Jay Chris, and of course I'll be there at ringside. So that's going to be a huge one. But those are the shows right now we have on the docket.
That sounds like one heck of a six-man tag match.
It absolutely will be.
You said that's in Chicago?
Mm-hmm. Yep, AAW Pro.
That, for anybody who's able, that sounds like it would definitely be worth the drive.
Absolutely. Well, I tell you, OI4K as a six-man tag is just on fire right now. You know, that group, or, you know, Dave, Jake, and Sammy, you know, as a six-man tag are getting booked all over the place. They were just in England. They've been in Vegas. They've been, good grief, California, you know, New Jersey. I mean, it just everywhere, Chicago, everywhere that they go, that six-man is just a hot ticket right now. So Trevor Lee, David Starr, and Jeff Cobb are just going to be it's going to be a good match.
I will say this about Sammy in particular. I knew a promoter way back, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to ruffle any feathers, who knew Sammy when he was on the heavier side.
Mm-hmm.
And said, this kid's never going to amount to anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd say that promoter got things wrong slightly.
Well, here's the deal. That's one of the rules that I live by is, you know, I try to be nice to absolutely everybody, you know, because, A, you never know who's going to, you know, be a superstar one day. And, you know, no matter how fast, you know, you or I or anybody is going up in the business, you know, you're going to pass those people that you stepped on when you're on your way back down one day, you know, so you better be good to them, you know? So again, you know, Sammy's a perfect example of that. So, but absolutely, you know, it's Sammy, you know, proved a lot of people wrong. So he's a inspirational story.
Absolutely. And every time I've met Sammy, he's been nothing but a class act. So,
absolutely.
So, like I said, my time's about out. So,
all right.
I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you're a busy man, and I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. We'll have to do this again sometime in the future.
All right. Well, sounds good. I thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
All right, well,
ladies and gentlemen, that was the Iron Manager, JT Davidson. And like he said, you can catch the OI4K this weekend in Chicago. I believe he said this weekend. I already forgot. But anyway, be sure to tune in to this show next week, when I will have as my guest second generation quick rising superstar Brian Pillman Jr. That'll be next Tuesday night, same time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. Brian Pillman Jr. will be my guest, and we will talk about his recent jump into professional wrestling and We will touch on his major influences to get into this business. So, once again, I want to thank the Iron Manager, JT Davidson, for being on the show. And we will see you all. We will talk to you all next week. Have a good night, everybody.